Suzzy Roach is the youngest of the music group The Roaches, three sisters who began performing in Greenwich Village in the 1970s. Audiences love their clear voices, their tight harmonies, and their smart and quirky lyrics. They introduced themselves in their 1979 album called Simply The Roaches with this song, We.
We are Maggie and Terry and Suzzy. Maggie and Terry and Suzzy Roach. We don't give out our ages, and we don't give out our phone numbers. Give out our phone numbers. Sometimes our voices give out, but not our ages and our phone numbers. Guess which two of us made a record? Guess what the other one did instead? The two who made the record have been a singing group for 10 years. Singing group for 10 years. And now a trio we are, born on the 4th of December. We come from the best New Jersey.
The group released other records, as they said, collaborated with other musicians and pursued solo careers. Suzzy Roach is now a novelist, having written her first book. It's called Wayward Saints. It's about Mary Saint, the lead singer in a band called Sliced Ham, who performs songs with titles like Feet and Knuckles, You're a Pig, and Sewer Flower. It's also about Mary's estranged relationship with her mother, Jean Saint, the vagaries of the music business, and what it's like to go home again. Suzzy Roach joins us here in our Philadelphia studios. A great pleasure. Nice to have you with us on Radio Times.
Great to be here.
I was listening to you listen to that song. That was my introduction to the Roaches. What is it like to listen to that for the millionth time?
I think, God, what were we thinking?
Do you really?
Well, and also we've revised some of the lyrics since then. It was really over 30 years ago.
Yes, it was. 1979.
Making me feel old.
So what made you want to write a novel?
I don't know. It was a mysterious surprise to me. I had written a short story that was 5 pages long, and someone had read it and suggested, oh, you should turn this into a novel. And it was as if the Liberty Bell went off in my head.
I said, right?
Yes, of course. And I just took 5 pages and made it 200 and whatever, you know.
Well, you've written lyrics for songs. A novel seems to me one of the most difficult things to write. Did you find that it was difficult for you?
Oh, it was the hardest thing I've ever done.
Really?
And I still could be working on it, you know. I just sat down every day in my pajamas all day long and worked on it and prayed that I could do it. Because, you know, you reach a certain point and you think, I'm, you know, 7 chapters in, and I'm not going to finish this? Are you kidding me? You know,
did that kind of hang over your head?
Oh,
which is, where is the story going?
And
how do I do this?
Well, the story was informing me. The characters were coming alive. They were taking over my life. But I was fighting a voice, an inner voice that was saying, oh, you're writing a book? Oh, who do you think you are? You know, that kind of thing.
Who was that voice? Do you know, was that you, Suzzy Roach, or was it somebody
me
else?
Me and everybody else, you know, whoever said things like that to me.
Like, you can't do that?
Yeah.
Tell us about Mary Saint. I mean, this story is really about Mary Saint. She's this lead singer in this band. How would you describe her?
I would describe her as a kind of rocker chick who was a real casualty of the music business. Her band, you know, had their star rose quickly and then crashed very hard. And, you know, she's left by herself to pick up the pieces. And she has had a troubled past and has to come to terms with it.
You also describe her, I mean, literally what she looks like. And I thought it was interesting is in that she didn't think she was pretty, but other people seemed to think she was pretty. She described herself as plain as a paper lunch bag.
Yes. She was, I wanted to have a really, you know, bad girl character, but who had an innocence about her and was fearless. But in being fearless, mm-hmm. she got herself into trouble.
Yeah, and her breasts were too big. You included that.
Yes, I wanted her to have, you know, she had to be sexy, you know, in the way that rock stars, oh, boys have to be sexy too, but, you know how they're almost like, they have to be.
And did she come to you? Do you feel like she is your creation?
Well, she came to me. I don't even know if I created her. She seems like a real person to me.
Really?
And she is not me.
That's always the question that a novelist gets asked, right?
Yeah. I mean, none of these people are real, but they're all, I guess I made them up, but they seem to, as if they were real people.
She belongs, so she's the lead singer in this band, a band called Sliced Ham. Yes. Is that a joke?
Well, you know, I had to entertain myself while I was writing the book. And I wanted it to have a lot of funny elements. It's almost like I think of the book as a sad cartoon.
Mm. A sad cartoon about a band, a singer, the music business, a mother-daughter relationship, going
and
home.
Faith, that was another theme that's really in the book, and how people relate to faith differently.
Well, it's called Wayward Saints, and we've got a woman, Mary Saint, and her mother, Jean Saint. I mean, their last name is Saint, to underscore the point.
Yes, and there's a lot of imagery, you know, religious imagery in the book that, you know, angels and saints. Right. And in a way, I guess I thought everybody is kind of a wayward saint, you know.
Well, I'd love to have you read something from the very beginning of the book, and this is when Sliced Ham is performing in England.
Sliced Ham had been all over the UK, blowing rooms away, mostly playing for college kids and hipsters, and Mary knew these weren't her people. They were savages, maybe even violent. They would eat the band alive. She noticed one goonball in particular, his arms sticking out like legs of lamb, stained with tattoos. He was leaning on the edge of the stage with a whole line of other freaks, but he didn't seem to be hanging out with any of them. He scowled at the microphone where Mary was going to be standing, and every couple of minutes he'd say something to it. "Get me out of here," she thought. "Who do these people think we are?" Her legs were shaking, and she was having trouble catching her breath. She held on to the red velvet curtain that was burned with cigarette holes and rubbed her lips up against it, trying to calm her nerves as if it were a baby blanket.
And again, Suzzy Roach reading from her first book, a novel called A Wayward Saints. And that's such a vivid description of an audience and I guess of a performer just about ready to sort of go out and seeing who is out there in that crowd.
Yeah, I guess I wanted to just describe the difference between once you get on stage and when you're backstage worried about going on stage. And I think one of the things about Mary Saint is that in reality she's just very vulnerable. Mm. But she doesn't seem that way when she's on stage.
I mean, she presents this whole other rocker side of herself.
Right, and she doesn't really even know what happens to her on stage. It's like she just goes off into another personality or something.
As you said, this book isn't about you, but can you relate to that, the idea of having a kind of a stage persona as a performer?
Yeah, well, similarly to Mary Saint, she is a character, in fact, she's a character, but I'm trained as an actress, so I always could relate to that aspect of rock and roll. And actually, I heard Alice Cooper say that he thought the people who survived rock and roll were the people who thought of themselves as a character instead of a person.
Interesting. And I know you took acting classes, or you were with the Worcester Group. Maybe you still are.
Yeah, I you know, went to school for acting as a young person. Yeah. And I've done a lot of different... I've been on stage all my life, even though I'm kind of naturally shy. So I do need to have a character because I don't find myself particularly interesting.
Oh, that's so interesting in and of itself.
Yeah, well, that's why I couldn't ever write a memoir. You know, I like novels and the imagination of it.
Because a memoir, you don't think your life is interesting enough for other people to read about?
Yeah, I'm pretty dull. I'm all my day is spent working and doing my vocal exercises. And I mean, it's not that interesting.
And how did and have you always performed? I mean, even as a kid, and I know you performed obviously with your sisters, but even as a little girl,
I had to. For some reason, as a shy child, I was always being asked to, you know, you be the one to recite this, or you get up and do that, and I didn't. I could not figure out why. I just sometimes I would freeze up and couldn't do it at all.
Really, in this story, Mary, and she's the only child, the daughter of Jean Saint. But as a little girl, she va va voom. I mean, she dances. She performs for her mother.
Yes, she does. She likes to sing but it's the only thing that she really feels like doing is singing.
Is singing and using, in fact, in the beginning when she writes, it's prayerful. I mean, she's searching for something.
That's right. Her mother is a Catholic. They live in a very Catholic town, and she is in her whole world is filled with that kind of imagery. So she relates to singing as a prayer when she starts out.
Mm. And interestingly, both mother and daughter have been hurt, have been abused by a father/husband.
Yes, there's trouble, very bad
trouble. At home.
Yes, and they both, all three of them, the father too, has suffered. Their family is just, you know, black and blue, right. Basically.
And I'm just curious why you made that part of the story.
Well, I wanted both characters to have to come to terms with that. And I also wanted to point out that even if you become a big star or whatever, you still have to go back and deal with what happened to you in your life. And the mother character, Jean, I love her. Mm-hmm. She's a you know, tough cookie, but she's had a lot of pain, too. I wanted the mother and daughter to have to, you know, grow through the story. So,
well, as you said, this is not about you, but has that been something you've experienced? I mean, abuse?
Oh no. My parents are nothing like the characters in. But you know, abuse is a broad term.
I mean,
pain. I would say, you know, everyone's experienced mm-hmm. pain. So.
Well, let's take a very short break, and then we're going to get back to our conversation. And Suzy Roach is our guest today on Radio Times, a member of the Roaches Three Sisters, who began performing back in the 1970s. They put out a bunch of records together. They also collaborated with other musicians, have pursued solo careers. And Suzy Roach is now a novelist. In fact, she's written her first book, a novel called Wayward Saints. We're going to talk more about the book and some of the characters and more about the music business. We're also going to play some music, so stay with us. We'll be right back.
Supporting WHYY, Penn State Law and universities from around the world premiere World on Trial, an international human rights courtroom television drama, tonight at 6 and 9 p.m. on the Y Info Channel. Details at worldontrial.psu.edu.
I'm Marty Moscowane. It's the winter membership campaign. We're thrilled that you listen to WHYY. Now take that next step and become a supporter. 2012 is going to be a busy year politically speaking, and Radio Times and WHYY will keep you up to speed on the local and national races and informed about the issues. That's what we do. What you need to do is make a pledge of support right now by calling 1-888-345-9499 or pledge online at WHYY.org.
WHYY programming is supported by the teachers and education support professionals of the Pennsylvania State Education Association, educating all children for a bright future. We are PSEA, providing the power of a great education.
Open Connections, a progressive educational environment, supports WHYY. At Open Connections, youth ages 4 through 18 attend programs 1 to 3 days a week from September to June. Guided by their principles of respect, freedom, responsibility, and natural learning, Open Connection serves as a community base for young people and their families seeking an innovative, collaborative, and process-conscious educational environment. An open house at their campus in Newtown Square is Sunday, February 12th at 4 p.m.
This is Radio Times here on WHYY in Philadelphia. I'm Marty Moscoen, talking with Suzy Roach about music and writing and her life. She has a new book. It's called Wayward Saints. It's her first book, and it's a novel. In this book, Mary, your, I guess, kind of lead character in the book, Mary Saint, has a vision as a child, and she sees the Blessed Mother, or believes that she has seen the Blessed Mother. Can you talk a bit about that?
Yes, well, she, we don't really find out about whether that actually happened or not. You know, that's up to the reader to decide. But the point is that it creates a huge problem for both Mary Saint and her mother Jean, because they both have to deal with the fact that this happened, right. and they haven't really dealt with it. And this is, you know, many, many years after it happened. So that's, in a way, the central problem of the book. I really am very interested in the subject of faith. And I have done a lot of work in that area. But, of course, you can't say, oh, I want to write a book about faith, because
you think people won't want to read that?
I did a project called Zero Church, which was an unusual collection of prayers, and some people wouldn't even listen to it because they thought it was religious or something like that. And I just you have to kind of be tricky about it. You know, there's so, it's such a controversial subject. So,
well, and Mary belongs, she leaves the music business. There's kind of a tragedy associated with her band, and she actually goes out to San Francisco and belongs to, you know, for lack of a better word, a kind of hippie church, right? A counterculture church.
Yeah, she does find herself a church, which is horrifying to her mother, of course. And, you know, but, you know, she tries to make her way, and it's just an interesting, different look at, you know, what faith is for each individual person.
And she's, in a sense, surprised to find herself at this church, right? I mean, to be thinking about faith, or thinking about her own faith.
Yeah, I think she has to come down off of the problem of being a rock star, and the identity of that is eaten away at her soul, basically.
Do you think of yourself as a person of faith, whatever faith that means?
My faith is in art. That's where I get the most, what I can relate to of other people's faith in religion. But I am fascinated by and drawn to people who have faith.
Religious faith?
Religious faith and just faith, you know. It's hard to have faith because you don't know. You know, that's the very nature of it.
I always make a distinction between hope and faith. I mean, faith is about believing. Hope is about wishing, it seems.
Yeah, yeah. And in a way, writing the book for me was an act of faith because I had to simply believe that I could do it.
And were you raised Catholic?
Yes.
Was your family Catholic?
Yeah, in a sort of a strange way, but, you know, not in a rule following way, but the imagery and the music definitely was something that I was in choir all the time.
Really? And did you have a period where you sort of lost your faith or left your faith and have come back, or?
I don't think the Catholic Church wants me.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah, I don't think I would be eligible.
And why is that?
Well, I just have
a sinful life?
Yeah, I haven't been. Although, I did almost become a nun.
You did?
I was a devout child. And my parents actually took me out of a Catholic school because I was so serious about it. They didn't want me to, you know, do that. So, and after they did that, everything went awry.
You said, the heck with this nun thing?
Yeah, well, actually, when they stopped wearing the habits, I got disinterested. You know, I guess I liked the outfits.
I mean, were you a little girl thinking you'd like to be a nun?
Yeah, it went up till about sixth grade.
Wow.
And I used to hang out at the convent and everything like that. But Geez, I haven't thought of that in years.
But did you think of that as a kind of contemplative life or a life a little bit removed from the world? Was that also attractive to you?
Oh, I found the nuns so fascinating, and I thought they were, you know, saintly and beautiful and holy and all of that.
And, no, go ahead.
Well, it just one time I remember a nun actually, and this is a caricature, everyone says, a nun, she slapped me in the face because I told her I wanted to be a nun, and she was a young woman, about 26, and she said to me, "You have no idea what it really is." And she slapped me, and I'll never forget it, you know.
Wow. I mean, and got you to perhaps think beyond the vest, you know, the clothing, the kind of sacrifice associated with that.
I guess so. I didn't consciously understand it at the time. I didn't know why she was so upset, but then I figured it out.
And did you become a bad girl after?
Oh, I'm not bad. I mean, the inside of my brain is bad, but I'm a pretty
You don't act on it?
No, I'm a coward.
Well, this is a little bit of a weird segue, but I happen to really love the Roaches version of Handel's Alleluia Chorus. And this is actually from the Roaches album, 1981, an album called Keep On Doin'. And since we've been talking with Suzy Roach about some of the faith ideas in her book and her own experiences with faith as well, let's listen to the Roaches version of the Alleluia Chorus.
Alleluia! Hallelujah, 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 for the Lord God omnipotent reigneth. Hallelujah, 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 for the Lord God omnipotent reigneth. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. For hallelujah, the Lord, hallelujah, 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 hallelujah.
I really like that. It holds up, don't you think, Suzy Roach?
Well, it is Handel.
But it is Handel. That does help.
It's an unusual... God, everything was so fast that we used to do. We were so full of energy.
Oh, and you're that middle voice, right?
Yes.
That we're hearing.
Yes. I'm jumping around in the middle there.
And again, Suzy Roach, our guest today on Radio Times, a member of the Roaches, and she's also performed as a solo artist. She has pursued an acting career as well, and if that weren't enough, she's now a novelist. She's written her first novel, her first book, and it's called Wayward Saints. There is this, you know, mother-daughter relationship in here, Jean Saint and her daughter Mary Saint. Mary's the singer, the leader of the band. Help us understand what their relationship is about.
Well, Mary Saint has run away from home at 18, and she hasn't seen her mother in 18 years. And I think by the time she ran away from home, she was such a handful that her mother, you know, she just didn't know how to deal with her in the situation. They had this abusive father, and Jean, I think, feels that she let her daughter down somehow, but she couldn't understand the behavior of her own daughter, and she found her to be almost frightening.
Mm.
So that has been a deep, undealt with pain of Jean's for all of these years. And they're going to be meeting up again because Mary's coming to the hometown to do a solo concert 18 years after she left home.
Yeah.
And on one hand, Jean's happy about that, but she's worried because she can't understand why someone would make music, you know, like that.
Well, and make music with strange titles like Feet and Knuckles, You're a Pig, Sewer Flower.
Exactly.
I was reading some of the lyrics are in here, and we actually can't say some of those on the radio. Pretty, you know, ribald stuff.
Yes, well, as my mother, my real mother said to me, who just read the book, you know, do you really talk like that? And, you know, no, I had to make her very extreme. And again, like I said, along the sad cartoon, there is an element of fantasy about the book. And I think there's an exaggerated quality. I mean, the rock world, you know, in some ways, men get away with more in terms of language and stuff like that.
And antics and behavior, things like that.
Yeah, yeah. And so I wanted her to not, I wanted her to be fearless. And I also wanted her to be expressing herself in such a way that a lot of people would look at it and say, oh, that's horrible, you know.
Well, not only does she go home, you know, after all these years of distance and silence, but goes home not to a high school reunion, but to perform at her high school auditorium, which seems, you know, even more loaded than just going home for a high school reunion.
Yes, I mean, it's a frightening idea.
Yes,
you
it
know,
is.
To me, I would never be able to do it. And you know, some of the people who are going to be coming have no idea who she is, of course, and you know, so it'll be an interesting show, to say the least.
To say the least. And you and your daughter, Lucy Wainwright Roach, have collaborated on a song called Wayward Saints. And I do want to play just a little selection from that. But tell us a little bit about how you worked with Lucy on this song.
Well, Lucy, I had Lucy when I was very young. So we
How young?
I was 24 and right at the height of, you know, my career. And she really was such a blessing, you know. She's been so great, but we really grew up together. And as soon as she was born, I realized very quickly, oh, this is the most important thing in my life, not my career. And but she's a beautiful singer, and she, you know, we obviously have sung together. She's the other side of her family. The Wainwright family is full. Everybody
right.
is
Loudon,
a singer.
Rufus,
yes,
exactly.
So. Everybody is a singer on both sides of the family, and she's kind of like a little tea bag that's been steeped in the whole thing.
And did you think about your daughter at all as you were writing about this mother-daughter relationship in your novel? I mean, was she...
My daughter couldn't be more opposite than Mary Saint. She's very, very different from her. No, I guess it wasn't about... I wasn't thinking about my daughter.
But it is, I mean, those mother-daughter relationships are, I mean, all relationships are intense and powerful, but that mother-daughter relationship is, you know, deep.
Yes, it's very deep, and it's the, you know, ultimately, if that relationship doesn't get straightened out, I think, you know, you're going to be in trouble somehow. I mean, I don't mean to sound like a shrink, because I don't know, but I suspect.
And when she was a teenager, I mean, did she think that you, her mother, were just conservative? And I mean, did she go through a period of rebellion? You always wonder about, you know, people who have kind of hip and cool parents, how these children rebel under those circumstances.
She rebelled in the opposite direction. She was the only person on both sides of the family who went to get a degree. And she's got a master's degree in education. She was going to be an elementary school teacher until her brother Rufus, the day after she got her master's degree, asked her to go on the road with him.
Oh.
And she said yes. And then she's been on the road ever since.
Well, I'd love to play just a selection from this song. The song is For Wayward Saints, the name of Suzy Roach's novel, and it's a collaboration of words and music with her daughter, Lucy Wainwright Roach. Let's listen.
What's the matter, baby? You look sad and lonely, like you're about to fall apart. Why not look me in the eye? Tell me the reason why you don't trust anyone. Your crooked path and fall from grace, a shadow cast all over the place. You're cracked up, but you're holy too, hurt because you're black and blue. Silver pain, you're a wayward
that's our guest, Suzy Roach, singing with her daughter, Lucy Wainwright Roach. And gosh, that must be such a thrill to sing with your child.
It is. It's
together.
Great. It's a great byproduct of the whole career and lifetime pursuit, you know.
And what was it like to write with her?
Well, actually, I wrote the song, but she, you know, figuring out the parts, and it's so deeply ingrained in both of us because we were just side by side. You know, it was like in The Good Earth, that book where, you know, that you bring your child right with you as you work. She was always with me, and she just knows what it is. She has no, you know, she doesn't have any romantic ideas about being in the music business.
Yeah, well, she's seen it up close. But what I find so interesting is that the Roaches, the McGarrigles, the Wainwrights, you know, all whose lives have intersected, is you still continue to perform together, you know, depending on who's singing what part. I was going through some old albums, and, you know, there you all are.
Yeah, I mean, you know, families can be a big jumble of complicated emotions, but one of the greatest things to do is sing with people.
Yeah.
And when you do that, it sort of transcends any kind of problems. And we all, it is a very odd situation because everybody does it. And just the other night, we had a show in New York, and all the different family people were there and singing, and it's just part of, I guess it's kind of like if you had a family business that was a bakery or something, you'd all eat donuts or something.
but a family that where, you know, different people were married to different people and then divorced from different people.
Yeah,
I mean,
that,
just to add to the to the complexity.
Yes. Well, for me, Loudon Wainwright, who is Lucy's father, he's a soulmate. You know, we were unconventional, you know. We never actually even were married.
But is that right?
For me, it was just, that's Lucy's father. I mean, there's no way that I wasn't going to work very hard to keep that relationship going. And he's married to someone else now, and they, you know, we all hang out, have Christmas together, stuff like that.
Yeah. And was that ever awkward, or did that work from the beginning?
For me, it was a very high priority. I needed to, you know, I knew that I loved Loudon forever. I, you know, the fact of not being a couple or something didn't matter to me. I just was just important.
Mm. Well, let's take another short break. We'll get back to our conversation, talking with Suzy Roach about her life, about music, and also about her new book, a novel called Wayward Saints. She, of course, a part of the legendary The Roaches, three sisters who began performing a couple of decades ago, put out a bunch of albums together. They have pursued interesting solo careers. They come back together, and we're talking about all of this today on Radio Times. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
St. Joseph's University Graduate Studies in the Arts and Sciences supports WHYY and offers over 41 full and part-time master's and certificate programs on campus or online. A cohort is forming now for the Interdisciplinary Doctorate in Educational Leadership, a program that prepares new leaders marked by the vision, skills, and values to help shape the future of education. Information at sju.edu/edd. Graduate Studies at St. Joseph's University. Higher knowledge, higher potential.
I'm Marty Moscowane. It's the winter membership campaign here at WHYY. If you're a new listener, if you've never been a supporter, or your membership has lapsed, please take a few minutes and make a pledge of support to WHYY. That phone number is 1-888-345-9499, or you can pledge online at whyy.org. On Radio Times, we find the guests, we host the conversations. Make a call, 1-888-345-9499. Thank you very much.
WHYY is proudly supported by the Philadelphia Museum of Art, presenting Van Gogh Up Close, paintings from Vincent Van Gogh's final years when the artist experimented with new ways of capturing nature on canvas. Philadelphia Museum of Art is the only U.S. venue for this exhibition. Tickets and information for Van Gogh Up Close are available now online at philomuseum.org or 215-235-SHOW. That's 215-235-SHOW.
This is Radio Times here on WHYY in Philadelphia. I'm Marty Moss-Cohen. Our guest, Suzy Roach, sang, wrote, and toured with her two sisters, Maggie and Terry, for many years. The Roaches had a devoted following of people who appreciated their tight harmonies and their quirky, clever lyrics. Suzy's written her first book. It's a novel called Wayward Saints. It's about a woman named Mary Saint, a lead singer in a band who had given up on her music career, only to go home again to perform at her high school. It's also about a mother and daughter who have been estranged and reconnect after many years of distance and silence. And again, Suzy Roach, our guest today on Radio Times. I would love to have you read a section from the book, and this is about being on the road.
The memories of what her life once was were absurd. Adventures on that thing called the road. Sometimes it seemed as if a person could fly, but the humiliations and failures were so extreme, so public, rave reviews and then vicious dismissals, all those stained toilet bowls and sticky floors, freezing dressing rooms, dented aluminum ashtrays overflowing with cigarettes and joints, platters of curled-up salami and wilted American cheese, bottles of tequila with worms at the bottom that were supposed to be swallowed, posters of bands, mostly guys in leather pants, their crotches bulging, hairy arms inked with tattoos of girls and dragons, photographs of herself posing with electric guitars in ridiculous outfits that she had thought she ought to wear, ripped stockings, garter belts, and makeup like war paint, attitudes, her own and everyone else's, songs that she wrote from the heart and what they actually turned out to be, who people thought she was and who she really was, who she thought she was and who she turned out to be. Fans cheering, "We love you, Mary Saint! Slice Tam! Slice Tam!" It had been a long tilt-a-whirl ride, the predictable cliches, hotel lobbies, airport bars, and the exquisite uniqueness of those very same cliches. The world was a carnival, the ghoulishness, the costumes, the buffoons, the down-and-out, drug-laden, liquor-soaked good old times, the goofiness, the innocence, the mistakes and cruelties, the magical shows, the mixture of fakery and truth, the sadness and the laughs.
Suzy Roach reading from her novel, Wayward Saints. That's a powerful description of life on the road. Did that come out in one fell swoop?
It did.
Did it?
Yes.
I mean, it feels that way. It sounds that way.
Yes. It was great. You know, it's so solitary to write a book, and I didn't really tell anyone I was doing it. I was completely free. I didn't know if anybody would ever publish it or anything, and I just, there was no censoring, you know, so it was, and I wanted to say something about the culture that leaves people so unhealthy. Every step of the way, the culture of rock and roll is a dangerous place, and you really have to have your head screwed on right in order to, escape the pitfalls.
Was there something that got you to, in a sense, give up the road? I mean, not that you're not performing now, but did you reach a point where this was what the road was for you?
We were folk musicians. We were
exactly.
Not rock and roll. We were in a lot of rock and roll clubs, though. And, you see it, and it's kind of, the culture of it, there's a real pressure to be kind of cool and bad and all this kind of stuff. And like I said, I had my daughter when I was young. I was basically, I was not going to be a wild and crazy person. But, it's tempting.
You also write, and this is a section also about Mary and being on the road and being a rocker. They must have been sick of interviewing girls like Mary, smartass, second-string rock stars. There was a conveyor belt of such girls, festooned in low-cut shirts and colored bras, short skirts and clunky high heels, leaving lipstick marks on the filters of their cigarettes, spewing curses and yawning. A conveyor belt of them, the journalists, usually smart nerds, who wish they had rockin' girlfriends, but who were really impressed with their gurus, the men of rock and roll.
Yes.
It's the men that really interest the rock and roll journalists?
I think so. Yeah, I think ultimately they like the girls, but those big, huge rock stars who are men are really a lot of the journalists. That's what they really... Everybody wants to be a rock star. You know, let's face
including
it.
Including the people that are covering the rock stars. Indeed. You also, and this is from the Roaches, A Dictionary of Music Business Terminology. I'll just read a couple of them. The actual phrase is, in a couple of weeks, and the meaning is never. The actual phrase is, I love what you do. The meaning is, I will do anything in my power to change what you do into something else. The actual phrase is, I love your music. And the meaning is, I hate your music. And it goes on from there. This is the Roaches' take on the music business.
Yes, well, we did have to amuse ourselves.
is it that hard and almost like contradictory and full of lies?
Yes, it's all about, you know, it's all illusion. That's what it is, and it's basically it's a business. And you know, the bottom line is: are you selling records? Are you selling mm-hmm. tickets? Are you making money for someone else? And that is what it is, and I think it's smart to keep mm-hmm. one's eye on that. But I think a lot of people, you know, get distracted, like they don't like the business people and all this kind of stuff. But it is a business.
It is a business.
Or it was a business.
Well, do you feel like you're in that business now, or?
No, I feel like I'm in my own business now, mm-hmm. you know, and, you know, the music business has changed drastically, so.
Well, I actually want to play another song, and this goes back to one of the Roaches' older albums, 1980. The album is called Nerds, and it's a song titled The Death of Suzzy Roach. Let's listen to this.
I work in the laundromat, the one that Suzzy Roach does hers at. I hate her guts, I hate her guts. She thinks I want her autograph.
Song called The Death of Suzzy Roach. And Suzzy Roach is our guest today on Radio Times. I'm Marty Moss-Cohen, and you're listening to Radio Times here on WHYY.
And thanks so much for listening to WHYY and Radio Times. Hi, I'm Robin Bloom, and with me is Joanne Allen. Listening
Good morning,
to
Robin.
Another great hour with Radio Times, Marty Moss-Cohen and Suzzy Roach, learning a lot about the Roaches and Suzzy's music and her new book. And we went from the first hour talking about the Keystone Pipeline to hearing about the life of Suzzy Roach. So it's you never know what you're going to get on Radio Times, and Marty Moss-Cohen is an interviewer that we all love to listen to. And I love when she does the arts and culture interviews, listening to her and how she talks to her guests and lets us know what's going on. And we appreciate it. And if you appreciate it, give us a call at 888-345-9499 or pledge online, whyy.org.
Indeed, Robin, we love to listen to Radio Times with Marty Moskowain. For example, yesterday there was a story on the presidential candidates and the state of the Republican Party on yesterday's program. And in the second hour, she took a look at the play that's now playing in Philadelphia on Broadway in New York, The Scottsboro Boys, which is an interesting way to tell that story from Alabama earlier in the 20th century. And it's all about how you can put that into a musical and make sense and teach people at the same time. And that was the kind of topic that Marty Moskowain is so good at getting into with her guests. So if you're someone who enjoys listening to Radio Times, if you've been enjoyed it for the last 20 some odd years, if you're just new to Radio Times and you've been listening to WHYY maybe for the past year or so, we're asking folks to call in with their pledges of support, no matter how long they've listened to this station. The number to call, and call it right now because we have a lot of volunteers who are waiting to hear from you. The number is 888. First, you have to do a 1, right, Robin?
Correct.
1-888-345-WHYY.
Or online, WHYY.org. And while you're online making a pledge at WHYY.org, you can leave us a comment. And we've been reading them on the air. We always enjoy getting comments from you. And as Ed Cunningham said this morning, we'll be the good ones on the air. But we do want to hear from you at WHYY.org. Make a pledge. Only takes a few moments. And you can also see some of the special events that we have coming up in the future here that you can attend as a member of WHYY. Your support helps us to develop local news programs like Radio Times and like a recent program added to our scheduled Newsworks Tonight. And a great thing about Radio Times that I love, we talked about how great Marty is and our guests and all the information. What I love is the callers. You can call in, you can participate, and you have a voice in the program. If you called into Radio Times or if you felt like calling in or you just appreciate the kind of program that Radio Times is, give us a call at 888-345-9499 and become a member.
And you know, Robin, it's so nice to feel appreciated. One of the ways that we measure appreciation from our listeners is if they make that extra effort to become a member and call WHYY at 1-888-345-9499, 888-345-9499. When you make that call, you're telling us to tell Marty that you appreciate the work that she does. And let me tell you, I've seen Marty around here with books after books after books. She's in her office by 6:30 or 7 in the morning. She's here until late in the afternoon. She is reading all the time, making sure that she's up on the topic that she's going to discuss. And you don't get half of what she's learned about the topic because it's only a 2-hour show. But she works very hard, and it's that kind of work that we're asking you to show how much you appreciate it. Become a member. It's simple. All you have to do is
go to WHYY.org or call us at 888-345-9499. Now, Joanne, there's so much technology, right? It's like ubiquitous news information channels on TV, and you can even get updates like news headlines on your cell phone. And, you know, it's all about the headlines. And we can give you headlines, too, on NPR News. But the challenge is getting what's behind the news, the background and the context. And that's what we do here at WHYY, and that's what Radio Times is known for, giving you more than just the headlines and getting in-depth, a full hour of a range of topics. And you can call in and ask questions, and the callers really shape the show sometimes. It's a great program, and we appreciate Marty and all that she's done here at WHYY. We were talking before almost 25 years.
Yeah.
And if you appreciate it, give us a call at 888-345-9499. Pledge online, WHYY.org.
It's our membership campaign. It's how we tell whether or not the listeners enjoy what they hear. If you're someone who needs to renew your membership, call us at 888-345-9499. If you're someone who is new, maybe you're listening on one of the stations that's in South Jersey, you're at the Jersey Shore, and you've not pledged before, we will welcome you as a new member of WHYY with a simple phone call at 888-345-9499, or if you go online at WHYY.org. The most important thing during these membership drives, Robin, is that we hear from the listeners, because that gives gives us a gauge of what they like. Radio Times, come on, you like it. I like it. It's a great show, and it's got a great host, and it's your support that will keep it going strong here on WHYY, be it in the far western reaches of Pennsylvania, down south to Wilmington and Delaware and further on, out east to the Jersey Shore, a little bit further north into New Jersey, directly north of us, Bucks County, Lehigh Valley. It doesn't matter where you are. You're listening. It's time for you to help keep WHYY strong and to voice your support for Radio Times.
Voice it now at 888-345-9499. Pledge online, whyy.org. We talk about how we get a full hour of programming on Radio Times, two full hours each day, Monday through Friday. And you can really notice the difference between public radio and commercial radio. Yes, we do have underwriting announcements. We do rely on corporate sponsorship. But we take just a few moments out of your hour with those promotions. And the way we do it is coming to you a few times a year and asking you for your support during our membership campaigns. And that's how we keep the quality in the broadcast. And we're proud of that. And we know you listen because of that, because you know that you're going to get quality, good dialogue and intelligent discussion on Radio Times and on WHYY. So give us a call if you value that, and we know you do. Give us a call and show your support at 888-345-9499.
It's like Marty, what she said earlier in the first hour of the program. She said, we engage in civil conversation here, mm-hmm. and that is so very true. All you have to do is tune around the dial and listen to some of the talk shows. You're not going to always hear civil conversation. I can tell you, you will always hear it here on Radio Times with Marty Moskowane. You appreciate it. You tune in. You like it. Let us know that at 1-888-345-9499 or online at WHYY.org.
And Joanne, I can say I feel so privileged, you know, to work here at WHYY, and part of my job is to listen to the station all day while I'm here. And I love to listen to Radio Times, even if it's a topic that didn't seem interesting to me. It always becomes interesting. I learned something, and it's a lifesaver for me. I feel like it's like a second education. And I know I speak to a lot of people in the region who say the same thing. And if you're listening now and you haven't become a member already, and you do value Radio Times and WHYY, it enriches your life or broadens your perspective on things, well, give us a call like that person just did and become a member, or renew your membership, make an additional membership pledge at 888-345-9499. It is our largest campaign of the year, and we do need your help to meet our large goal. So give us a call at 888-345-9499 or online, whyy.org.
And you know, Robin, it's an election year, so you're going to be tuning in a lot to WHYY. You're going to be listening for the news from NPR and from us here locally. And you're going to be listening to Radio Times to get a sense of the way that people will discuss the upcoming election. We're in the primary season. It's going to head on into November.